I'm excited you're getting to hear Brother Ricky Torres, one of the most exciting speakers that I know. I met Brother Ricky years ago. We've been in several youth conferences together. He's always enthusiastic. At age 56, and he's still alive. He's probably the oldest living preacher in America today. So please take a picture with him or listen well. Get him to sign your Bible. We don't know if he'll be alive next year at this time. He's a soul winner. He's been serving the Lord a long time. He didn't just get into this. He believes in the bus ministry. He oversees 9 bus routes in Chicago and has been a bus captain for many, many years, and he knows what that's about. He's worked with the generation that's going to replace us, the young people and the college kids, all these years. Plus, he married a beautiful wife that loves the Lord. And so we're just glad that they would give us a Sunday night. He was in the area doing a wedding. He actually performed the wedding for Cassidy Hedger's sister because her new, her new husband was one of Brother Ricky's bus captains. So they worked in ministry together. So they've been out here a couple days doing the wedding, and then they fly back tomorrow. So give him a warm, open heart as we hear him preach tonight. Would you please?
All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight. You know what? Every time the church doors are open, I tell my kids, you ought to walk through it. I ought to walk through the door. And I'm so excited to be here. You've all been so kind. I don't like to tell pastors that I'm coming to their church. Usually because, you know, we're going to hear a good message. Because usually it's not a good message. But so I don't like to tell them I'm coming to church. I don't like to tell them because then they'll say, would you preach? And I'm like, no, you know, I just want to chill. But I love coming here. Amen. This is my second time coming here. I like this place. It's alive. Amen. It's alive. I got on that Fairfield bus route, the bus this afternoon. Those are my kind of people right there, I'm telling you. Who works on that bus route? Man, I'm telling you, that I got on there and I thought, this is good. We're going to fight. But that was encouraging. You've all been so good to us. Let me see, where is Cassie? Is she in here tonight? Does she go to church? She don't come? Oh, there you are. How could I miss you? Hey, you're next, all right? Courtney was first and you're next, all right? So I'm just telling you. And if you get married, let me do your wedding because I want to come back here again. All right. So you've all been so good. I got here and I didn't know that Napa was known for wine. Somebody told me it was for prunes, and I'm thinking, well, that's a bad effect. I'll take the wine. But had that nice bottle of wine waiting for me right there, Brother Ray, right there in the prophet's drunken place or whatever. Had a bottle of wine there and some cheese, and that was good. And I just love all the paintings. I see that you got the paintings here of all your grapes that you grow for your wine. That's great. I love that. I am just so encouraged by that. But I love to preach. I love Jesus. Amen. Now I also speak Spanish. So if y'all don't get with it, I'm just going to go full-blown Spanish, all right? Y'all don't say amen. Don't say praise Jesus. Amen. No. I'm just going to start going in tongues, all right? How many of you speak in tongues? You speak another language? Amen. You know what you call a person that speaks 3 languages? Trilingual. You know what you call somebody that speaks 2 languages? Bilingual. You know what you call somebody that only speaks 1 language? An American, all right? And I am an American. Hey, by the way, I was born in Puerto Rico, but I don't want to scare you. I am legal, okay? Puerto Rico's a territory of the United States, and my parents moved here when I was about 4 years old. They moved to Chicago, and my parents didn't know anything. First of all, why would you take me out of the Caribbean, right, and take us to Chicago? Yeah. One of the coldest, godforsaken places on the planet. And went from palm trees, right, down into just ice and cold in Chicago. And so that's where I grew up. At age 7... our family was a mess. We're going through some stuff. And these two, as my wife would say, Caucasian people. Amen. By the way, I like Caucasian people. I really do. They pay the bills. Amen. But oh, that is so bad. I can't believe you're saying that. Hang on, sister. We'll give you some more. All right. And they came and Brother Ray, I'm telling you, they were tall. They were tall. The guy and his wife, they were like Sasquatch tall. I mean, they were just tall. And they invited us to come to church that day because we were having horseback riding Sunday. I've been driving through the back roads here of Napa and Winters and what's that one we went to yesterday, Zeta? My wife loves to shop. And so you all got a bunch of these little towns that are really expensive. What's that one called? Calistoga? What is that? Yeah, that one. We went to that one. We're not going back. We've enjoyed all those little country towns, little back road towns, and we've had a great time with those. But going back to my story, so we got invited to horseback riding Sunday. And, of course, on these back roads, I've seen plenty of horses. And matter of fact, I saw a horse this morning down in Winters with a blanket on it. And I'm thinking, it's a horse. Really, it needs a blanket? Man. But my parents let us go to church that Sunday morning. Which, by the way, is just mind blown that you would let your children who speak no English get on the bus with two people who speak no Spanish and get on the bus and go 40 minutes to church. Yeah, really. If that ain't God, I don't know. Y'all call it bus ministry. Man, but I call it Holy Spirit Jesus ministry because that is just crazy. That's crazy. How many of you have ever worked on a bus route? Amen. Raise your hand. Amen. How many of you still work on a bus route? Amen. All right. We need bus workers, by the way. Hey, the pandemic is over. You can ride a bus, okay? It's good. If we can fly a plane with 180 people stuck up in the little 20 by 40 spot, yeah, you can work on a bus route, okay? It really won't kill you, I don't think. But we went to Hammond, Indiana. And man, there's not a lot that I remember about yesterday, but I remember getting saved. I got saved. And by the way, whoever led me to the Lord, I think his name was Dave or John or Joel, one of those names. But he did a good job of presenting the gospel to me. Amen. I have never had one of those reassurance. Man, I got saved. I knew I cried. You know, as a seven-year-old boy, when I got saved, I cried. And I haven't gone back. Now, have there been time where I've had doubts? Sure, that is the devil's job. The devil's job is to accuse and to deceive. But man, I knew that day I got saved. And by the way, bus workers are interesting. So going back, they tell you they're going to go horseback riding, right? And so then they take you to some broke down little pony, run him around the bus one time, and tell you to get off. So everyone laughing, you're guilty of that. You know that? You got your place in, you're saved. You're not going there. Bus workers say, hey, come tomorrow. We're going to have pizza. Mm-hmm. It's like the size of the Lord's Supper. That's what they give you. And they're like, give you a slice of pizza. This due in remembrance of me, you know. But bus workers aren't always the most honest people. If you come tomorrow to church, we're going to give you a bike. What they don't tell you is you get it when you're 18. Give it to you when you're 7, but you get it when you're 18. And so I came on the bus, then got saved, and through the ministries there. We do a lot with our bus kids. We keep our bus kids all day. So today, Brother Ray, I was talking, I'm doing church by remote, you know. I'm constantly on the phone ordering things around. But many of our kids, so we'll have a teen service. There's about 300 kids in that teen service. The room's about this size, about 300 kids. Now, our offering's about $12, okay? The attendance is great. The offering is poor. But it is an unusual service, unusual. It might be time where, I remember one time, we're singing, everything's all right in my Father's house. And then a fight broke out. All of a sudden, it went from everything's all right to everything's not. And a fight broke out. I mean, chairs flying. Kids going after each other. It's a great place. Every week I got to get up and I got to say, hey, I have these little Rickyisms, things I say in church that the kids make fun of me for saying. And I always say, hey, no one is to be heard above God's word. And I always say things like, don't talk to anyone. Don't let anyone talk to you. You know, and I'll tell them, hey, I give you two choices. You can straighten up or you can walk out. And so, but we have this church of, a service of about 300 teens. Man, but the Lord does some amazing things in that service. Amen. And so the Lord, I got saved on the route. Our church has a Christian school only for bus kids. Can you imagine? Could you imagine bringing your bus kids to the church 5 days a week? Now 6 days a week. I guarantee you, you're going to be loving Saturday when they're not on the property. And went there, then went to Howells Anderson, graduated. And then today I serve as a youth pastor for inner city teens. And we have three youth groups at First Baptist. It's a very large church. But we have what's called our driving crowd. That'd be folks that'd be nearby within maybe 10 miles. We have a young man, younger man than me, but his name's Abdel Judah. He's being used greatly by the Lord in conferences. And Brother Judah oversees that group. And then we have our Spanish service. They have the morning service, they have about 300, 400 teens. The Spanish has about 150. We have about 300 combined. There's about 1,000 teens on our church property every week. And three full-time youth pastors. And so it's interesting because we have Brother Abdel Judah. That's a Muslim name. And he's a Baptist youth pastor. Wow. And then we have Brother Hubal Perez. That's a Muslim name. And he's a Baptist youth pastor. And then there's Ricky. So you got a Baptist church with two Muslims and one real Christian. Amen? So people say, what's your youth pastor's name? Abdel. Where's he from? Pakistan. I don't know. And then we have Hubal. But I better stop right there because I keep on. I move around a lot. I'm from Chicago. And if you don't move, you get shot. Amen? All right? So I'm going to move around a little bit. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I am so glad that the Lord came down and reached down to me when I was 7 years old. I'm so glad that a lot of the pain that I see people go through and that where the Lord allows me to minister today, I'm so glad that the Lord kept me from that. I am no better than anyone. I'm no better than anyone on that bus this morning. I'm no better than the worst person that walked in here this morning. But by the grace of God, we are who we are. We're saved. Amen. We're adopted. Amen. We're loved. Amen. Amen. We're acknowledged. Amen. Man, if you can't get excited about that, what do you get excited about? Amen. I'm a Baptist. But sometimes a Pentecostal man comes out of me. Amen? I might come down here, brother. I might just be smacking that demon out of you, all right? Got that red hair flaring. I see hell coming out of you. Hey, what's your name? Jay? Jaden. All right? Jaden. It's a group, incredible group of young men right here. I call this the Napa gang right here. The Napa Cobras. What's up, bro? These guys were here this morning, and they were in Sunday school and did a great job. Today or tonight, I want to talk to you on this subject. What I've heard, what I've seen, what I've held. What I've heard, what I've seen, what I've held. Would you go with me to John 3:16? And then we're going to go to 1 John. John 3:16. This is probably, has been, there was a survey, a Barna survey, that asked people, what scripture do you know? What scripture do you know? And there were two verses that I'm talking about just secular people, not necessarily Christian people, said they knew two verses. Actually, the most popular one was the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, right? Because a lot of people say that out of ritual and rut and so on. And then the second was Psalm 23, the Lord's, the Shepherd's Psalm, because a lot of people, again, either they do it by church out of ritual, right? They do the rosary, or at funerals, you'll hear people quote Psalm 23. And then John 3:16 was number three up there. John 3:16, probably, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, back in the 70s and 80s, I don't know who did it, but they would hold John 3:16 signs up at the end. How many remember that? On goalposts. And they would hold John 3:16 signs. But what a verse. I think we sometimes look at a verse that is common and we take it for granted. And we look at it and say, man, let's read that together. Would we go to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Are you ready? The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. And I want to talk to you just a few things on things that I've held, things that I've seen, things that I've heard. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your love. Thank you, dear Lord, that a man of God would loan me his pulpit tonight. But Lord, thank you that we both, Lord, share the word of God and we can bring the word of God. And Father, tonight, I know I'm excited about what the Lord has worked in my life and in my heart to bring tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that the Spirit would deliver it so much better than I can. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you a little background here. I don't preach a lot to adults, okay? And so when I preach to adults, I have to redo my entire lingo. I got to redo my entire language to make sure y'all keep up and y'all understand what's going on, okay? Because, you know, if I'm preaching and I say, hey, no cap. You're like, I don't have a cap. What does that mean, no cap? What does that mean, guys? Yeah, it means no lie. Don't lie. And so I got to be careful. So I got to make sure that I've got 3 pages of notes and I got to, okay, do not use youth lingo. Okay, all right, keep that right there. Amen? Got that?
Amen.
John 3:16. That is written by John the Beloved. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go there, but in the book of Mark, he is one of the few people in the scriptures that got a nickname. And that nickname was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ gave you a nickname, what it would be? It might be Pudgy. It might be Puddles. It might be Cranky. It might be... My wife has a nickname for me. When I wake up in the morning, she says, good morning, Bow Wow. Bow Wow. She must be thinking about an old school rapper, Bow Wow. But she calls me Bow Wow. Imagine what... If the Lord Jesus Christ came down and gave you a nickname, and he called John and James, he called them, who knows what he called them, the sons of Thunder, man. What a cool nickname. By the way, you think superheroes today are something. Those guys were named by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sons of Thunder. You read about John the Beloved, and I'm just giving you a little introduction here. But he wrote, he was used by the Holy Spirit to write the Gospel of John. And he was also the same man that one time, if the Samaritans wouldn't convert, he wanted to kill them. The guy that wrote by the Spirit of God's leading, for God so loved the world, wanted to kill you if you didn't convert. That's incredible. And the Lord called them the Sons of Thunder. He called them the Sons of Thunder because these guys were out of control. I mean, once they got saved and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they wanted to be with him. Remember, this is the same John whose mama came up and said, hey, can you have my son on your right side? I mean, these guys are something else. But he was used by the Spirit of God to write that incredible verse, John 3:16. And 1 John and 2 John and 3 John and the book of Revelation. I almost said apocalypse there because I thought I was preaching in Spanish and you'd all walk out. The book of apocalypse. Oh, my goodness. Is that like the book of Enoch? Different Bible. And he says in there, John 3:16, something that's amazing. I think John might have been an attention seeker. The way he talks in superlatives. You ever meet somebody that when you ask them, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fantabulous. Praise the Lord. All right, brother, I'm just doing greater. And you're like, chill. I'm a youth pastor, and as a youth pastor, Brother Ray, there's nothing more that I hate than when I plan a first-class activity and I throw my heart into it and I ask the kids, how was it? And they say, aight. How was it? It was aight, aight, aight. Ooh, it starts down at the bottom of my feet and it starts going up. And man, I start changing shades of color. Because I just worked myself sick for an activity and it's just aight. Could you imagine, ladies, if your husband came home this week? Just imagine, because it's not going to happen. But if he came home this week and he brought flowers and they were the most beautiful. We saw incredible rose gardens all up in down here. And he brought in some incredible roses and said, honey, I love you. And look at these beautiful flowers. And you say to your husband, they aight. Day, right? But John, I think he loved, man, to speak. And when he said, for God so loved, he could have just said, for God loved, but he had to put a little extra oomph in there. God so loved. That's incredible. And by the way, that is the love of God. It's not just an average, not an I kind of love. It's a so loved. God so loved. And so John, this is the same John that wrote that incredible verse. Then let's go to 1 John chapter 1, because that's where I want to get you. 1 John chapter 1. And he's very careful in teaching and preaching in 1 and 2 and 3 John about some things that had been brought into the churches there and some false doctrine and actually was mingling of doctrine. And he's talking about the love of God. This was the apostle of love. Matter of fact, if you read some commentaries, that is what he's called. He is the original Bible love doctor. Amen? Amen. And he talks about God's love. And he doesn't talk about it like it's like, okay, I'm used to it. Boy, that's why I love new Christians. Amen. We saw two men get baptized today. And I love new Christians because you know what? It's so fresh and it's so burning. They want to tell everybody. New Christians are the best soul winners. Amen. Old Christians are the worst. We got our get out of hell free card. And so we don't got to worry about us anymore. But look what he says in 1 John. Would you go there in 1 John chapter 1? I'm sorry, I skipped my. Look, he says, that which was from the beginning. I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Quickly, I'm just going to share with you three things. First of all, let me just say this. It says that we have seen, we have looked, our hands have handled the word of life. First of all, let me just say this. We're not living our Christian life in the past. Amen. We're not living past tense Christianity. Amen. It's something I did not. I don't look back and say, well, I know the Lord took care of me one time. No, the Lord is taking care of me today. That's right. Amen. This is not an old book. One of the biggest arguments people say, well, it's such an old antiquated book. I don't know how that book is relevant for today. Brother, once this book gets into somebody's heart, it transforms them. There's two things Satan hates. He hates the testimony of the believer, and he hates the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because those are two things that cannot be refuted. Man, when some guy broke down, tatted, worn out, drugged up, comes to church and he gets saved and he walks out a new man, and he goes to his friends and they say, what happened to you? I got Jesus. Brother, you know what? You better go and look at that man, because that man, that testimony is powerful. Amen. And by the way, don't be ashamed of your testimony, man. Amen. Wherever God brought you to, if he brought you back to him or brought you to Christ, man, use that. Amen. He says, I've seen it, I've heard it. So first thing I want to say, don't live a Christian life that's in the past. Amen. You know why I pray? Because I've seen God answer prayers. You know why I go soul winning? Because I've seen the Lord deliver people. You know why I work with teenagers? Because I really believe that coming down the pipeline somewhere is the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Amen. But I got to be careful with my teens. I think I was meant to be a mafia boss. And I met Brother Steve. Where's Brother Steve at? Guzman. You were meant to be a mafia boss too. You're from New York? Brother, we need to talk later. I know you got some bodies up in that Hudson. I don't know why, but the Lord's been good to us. Man, if you go to my church, I'm surrounded by young men constantly, everywhere I go. Amen. You know, they're called ours. They call themselves RBs, Ricky's boys or whatever. And sometimes, I mean, I'm afraid if I tell one of these boys, hey, go take them out, I'm afraid they will. I'm afraid they will. Hey, but you know why I keep reaching out to young people? Because I've seen God do it. Amen. I've seen it. Amen. I've heard it. I've handled the word of God. I want us tonight to understand the importance of not only what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have handled, but what is left for us to see, to hear, to handle, to touch, to change. Amen. Man, let's start living with the anticipation that God did it once, and God is going to do it again. Amen. That is my greatest motivation why I do ministry, is because you know what? The same God that helped Noah and helped Gideon and helped Moses, that same God that helped and delivered all those people is my God. Amen. He's my God. Amen. First, stop living by the victories of the past. Stop living on the blessings of the past. Stop living on the things you've seen and heard and handled and say, oh, that was great for that generation. You know why young people are sick of church? Because they go to a church that's dead. I mean, it's awful when I'm the 56-year-old guy in the room and I've got more energy and excitement and I've got more push and more drive than most people in there, including the teens. Yeah. Like, what is wrong with you guys?
Amen. Come on. Come on. Amen.
But he's talking in 1 John about the love of God, and he starts to talk about the word of God. And look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Hey, what are we supposed to do with what we've seen and heard? We're supposed to talk about it.
Amen.
I love testimonies. I don't know if y'all ever do a testimony tonight. Sometimes you got to be careful, because sometimes old Sister Susan gets up there and she starts giving too much information, and you get in that awkward place like, cut her, cut her, cut her. Amen. You've been there. And hey, what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've handled, those are the blessings of the past. But now let's look to some in the future.
Amen.
I love what he says there in verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and we declare unto you. Hey, there were two men that got baptized today. I know one of them is named Michael Telez. And I met him outside. And he said, I've been to Chicago. And shook his hand. And man, looks like he's got kind of a rough life. But you know what? Somebody ought to go tell somebody else this week that this man that came to church looked like he probably wouldn't step into a church. But he did, and he got saved. Amen?
Amen.
We need to declare. We need to talk about how good God is to us. Sometimes people say, you talk too much. I'm saying, you talk too little.
Amen.
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 Sometimes you yeah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Okay. NFL, 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 NFL. Sacramento Kings, no one talks about them. Golden State Warriors, Golden State, Golden State, Golden State. You know what? I wish folks would understand that sometimes they speak about nonsense a lot more than they speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm known as the pastor in my town. So when I go to the bank, little black young lady there, or older black lady named Bernadette, she'll say, hey, pastor, how are you? Doing well. Bernadette, did you get to go to church? Yes. Tell me what the Lord did for you. Oh, my pastor preached on so-and-so. Yeah, you go to the store, and they're like, oh, you're from the church, right? Hey, you're, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. No, and they'll say, you know, I get on the plane, and people are like, I was sitting on the plane going to San Diego a few years ago, and I sat down, and sometimes when you're a pastor, you just want to avoid people. Amen? That's why he goes hunting. That's why he goes to Alaska. Like, there's no bears in California, right? He's got to go up there. You know, I'm not a hunter. I've been hunting, but I'm not a hunter. And I could just imagine him just out there shooting, like, oh, brother so-and-so, boom. You know? Y'all stay on his good side. Have you seen the zoo he's got?
Yeah.
All right. He's not a pastor. He's a zookeeper. Goodness. But we ought to declare. We've seen it. Don't get used to it. We've heard it. Don't get used to it. Say, oh, I've heard the best sermon. Oh, no, no. The best sermon is still yet to be preached. Man, I've seen the best revival. Man, I'm telling you, there's still a revival waiting to happen.
Amen.
Man, I've seen some incredible things God do. And let's have God do it again.
Amen.
We declare, we talk.
Amen.
We talk and tell. I was on that plane, I was telling you, and I'm sitting down, and I usually wear sunglasses when I'm on a plane. And man, I sat down, and this guy came up to me, and this guy was scraggly, and he had a long beard, and he had a guitar, and he had patches all over, and he came up to me, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, you're Brother Torres, aren't you? I'm like, who's asking? And I said, I am. And he said, took his glasses off. He said, do you recognize me? I said, I don't. I said, but I know a lot of people, so tell me your name. And he gave me his name. And it was the son of a pastor's friend of mine who had gotten away from the Lord. And I said, what are you doing? His name was Zane. I said, Zane, what are you doing? He said, I'm just traveling, trying to find myself. I said, Zane, I said, I'm going to be in California preaching at a church. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to San Diego. I said, well, I'm going to be a little bit south. I think it's Escondido. I said, why don't you come to church with me? And that young man came that night. You just never know who you meet when you just start talking about Jesus. Now, you'll get some grumpy people. Ooh, there's nothing better than sitting by a grumpy person who wants nothing to do with Jesus when they're on a plane, they're stuck with you for 4 hours. Amen? You don't like Jesus? Let me finish up here. By the way, you're good. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 3. Remember I was telling you about this John who loves big words and he loves to embellish when he says so loved? He's doing it again. Go to 1 John chapter 3. I said, man, what are you preaching tonight? I'm preaching that you've heard it, you've seen it, you've handled it, you've done it. Don't get used to it. Amen. What am I preaching tonight? Hear it again. That's why you're here tonight. Amen. Amen. Handle it again. Go out with the word of God and preach it and tell somebody. Hey, declare it again. Go tell somebody that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this. There he goes again. Behold, what manner of love. Man, I don't know that there's a better verse. The Bible is full of good verses, but man, this is a good one right here. I love this one. Man, this is good. It says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He, again, there he goes. Remember he said, so love? Not just I, but like a so love. And then he says, behold what manner of love. You know, you ought to live your Christian life with a little enthusiasm about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you.
Amen, amen.
But I'm introverted. People don't bite unless they're Mike Tyson, okay? People don't bite. And the worst thing they could do is kill you. And then you win anyhow. You go to heaven. I'm not going on that next train, though. I'll wait. He says, behold what manner of love. He is just so overwhelmed. He's like, how in the world can you be enticed? And how in the world can you be drawn away to another gospel when, behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. Hang on, hang on. That we should be called the sons of God. Yo, Trump Jr., you got nothing on me. You got nothing on me. You might have a famous daddy, but I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls me, behold what manner of love the Father has given, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
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 The sons of God. Oops, hang on. We should be called the sons of God. Let me finish up here. I think what John is saying here, you've seen it before, you've handled it before, you've heard it before. Don't get used to it. And you won't get used to it if you take it to 1 John chapter 3 and realize what kind of love you have. What kind of love you have. You have a so love. You have an incredible love. Hey, you have a love that transforms your relationship from sinner to son. Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you a little story here and I'll be done. In Chicago, in the 30s, there was prohibition. And there was this young man one time, his name was Eddie. And Eddie had the stock market had crashed and the Great Depression had gone on. And by trade, he was an accountant and he could not find a job. So he went into a slump and a depression, found himself in a tavern one day, a little town called Cicero, just west of Chicago. He's there drinking at the counter, he's trying to drink his sorrows away, and the bartender comes up to him and says, hey, why you look so gloom? Why you look so sad? He said, well, I have a family. He says, I need a support, and I've lost my job. And he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just despondent, and I don't know what to do. The guy says, well, you know what? Maybe let me see what I can help you with. And so the bartender disappears to the back room and comes out later and says, there's a man back here that I think can help you. And so he draws this man, Eddie, there at the bar, takes him to the back room. And he goes in there, and there's a bunch of men in a speakeasy, and they're smoking and drinking. This is during Prohibition. And the guy says, sit down. And he says, what's your name? He says, my name's Eddie. He says, Eddie, how can I help you? I'm without a job, and if you can help me, I need to provide for my family. And so the guy says, well, that's great, Eddie. I think I can help you. I think I can help you, Eddie. And he stands up and he says, your name again? He said, my name is Eddie O'Hara. Eddie, good to meet you. You can just call me Al. And he sat down. Little did Eddie O'Hara know that the man that he shook hands with was the famous, infamous gangster, Al Capone. And Al Capone offered him a job to be his accountant, run his books. And he began doing that. Wasn't until later he realized who he was working for. And he had heard about how the feds were going after Al Capone. And so he went ahead and had this just incredible turmoil. What do I do? Do I quit? I can't quit. They'll kill me. Do I turn them in? Do I get a reward? And so he decided one night, that's it. I'm going to take my life. Goes into a bedroom and pulls out a revolver. And he's ready to shoot himself. When he's about to shoot himself, a little four-year-old boy walks in and says, Papa, Papa, what are you doing? And he throws the gun down and falls to his knees. He hugs his boy, calls his wife, and tells his wife the story. I have been dealing books for Al Capone. I've been moving the money of all the liquor that he's been running throughout the Midwest here. And so he goes to the feds, and he turns himself in. And because of his books, the accounting, Al Capone never got charged with anything other than tax evasion. And because of that, they take Al Capone, and Al Capone gets put in prison. By the way, on the way out of the courtroom, Eddie O'Hara is gunned down, and he's murdered. But that's not the end of the story. Because that four-year-old little boy went on to become a World War II fighter pilot. His name is Butch O'Hara. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, the father killed himself, or the father was murdered because of what he had done. But that little boy became a World War II fighter pilot. His name became Butch O'Hara. And you don't hear anything about Eddie O'Hara today, but you do hear of a famous place called O'Hare Airport. And O'Hare Airport is named after Eddie O'Hara's little boy named Butch O'Hara. What a transformation, right? That's a great story of what the transformation, what the gospel can do in your life, in the past, and what the gospel can do in somebody else's life in the future. Here's what I want you to consider tonight. Are you just living in the past of what God has done, of what you've heard, of what you've handled? Or are you living in the future to see what God will do, what sermon you're going to hear, who you're going to reach? And the connector right there is the love of God. Amen. The love of God. When you understand that the love of God is our motivation for doing what we do. What we see, what we hear, what we handle, the love of God. Amen. The love of God.